asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances.
So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
In recent weeks, we've really focused on some ways that listeners can boost their income. So whether that's through starting your own side business and growing your network like Hala talked about, or when we talked with local realtor Alan about diving into investing in real estate, well, what better way to test the waters? While you are away, your home could also earn extra income.
That's right. Your empty space could be an Airbnb while you're traveling, because that's all you need to become an Airbnb host. It's a lot easier than you think, and you don't need to Airbnb your entire house. You could just host your extra spare room. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com, designed for work.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Vilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing 3% mortgages, secondhand steals, and legroom lunacy.
You know what, buddy? This is our Friday flight, where we're going to talk about some of the different stories we came across this week. The most important headlines that we think you need to pay attention to. Real quick, I wanted to share a quick personal anecdote, though. So back in the spring when we listed our house, back when the housing market was quite hot.
En fuego.
In particular for the sellers out there. We had a number of offers, a number of competitive offers on our place. Two in particular we were trying to decide between. But one of the buyers, they had included within their offer the ability to stay in their mountain cabin. Have we talked about this on the show? I can't remember.
I don't think so.
If we have or not. It's always tough to know what we've talked about only in real life with you and me sitting here in the office versus what we've talked about on the show. And granted, this wouldn't have tipped the scales if the other offer was super strong, if they'd come in with a really high price. At that point, it just kind of comes down to the numbers. You kind of have to do the math.
You don't want to overvalue this mountain cabin stay. It's what can I book this for normally? $250 a night, let's say.
Exactly.
Let's value it at
maybe an extra $1,000, but it was still enough to it put them on our radar maybe a little bit more than otherwise, right? But simultaneously, I was a little bit curious to see if we were actually going to take advantage of that, because it's one of those things where on paper, it seems like this nice perk.
What if it's like
a nice offer?
Literally a tent. And you're like, dang it.
No, they
foiled
did,
again.
They did include pictures and it looked really nice. And we thought, oh, this is actually something we should consider as we're making a decision. Well, the good news is that we actually just booked it. We've kind of been in touch with them and we weren't sure if we were going to reach out to them and they're going to say, oh, by the way, it's booked for the next 2 years.
That
Sorry.
Was a joke.
But we...
No, it's in the contract, man.
No, yeah, it was. And that is something that we just booked. So I'm actually, we're looking forward to doing that this fall for a few days. But the reason I wanted to share that is because it was a way that these buyers, that they got creative in order to get the house that they wanted. And we're actually seeing that in other ways, not necessarily from the buyer's standpoint, but from the seller's standpoint. So our first story, we're going to talk about mortgage loan assumptions, because obviously mortgage rates, you know, like they're still low if you take kind of a, like if you zoom out, take a long-term look.
I kind of want to make a joke about assumptions here, by the way, because I don't know, you know what they say about people who make assumptions, right, Matt?
That's true.
But I think
this type of assumptions, though, are a good thing.
Exactly. Yeah. So let's just like spell that out real quick. this assumption is literally you taking over somebody else's mortgage, right? So not going out and getting your own mortgage, but when someone's selling that house, you are saying, not only am I taking your house, but I'm taking your mortgage at the same time.
Exactly. Yep.
And the interesting thing is that almost nobody did this for a whole lot of years. But as mortgage rates have risen just astronomically recently, we've seen a lot more mortgage assumptions taking place. Now that rates are in the 6% range, it's pricing some folks out of the housing market. Well, if you get that same house, same price, but with a 3% mortgage, you might be able to afford it, right? And there are, we'll point out, a big chunk of loans that are not assumable based on the way the contract is written from that mortgage lender. Like, they can't transfer it into your name.
Yeah, these are specifically government backed, like VA loans, FHA loans, USDA loans, some of these loans that are directly backed by the US government.
Exactly. So the interesting thing though is, as you're out there searching for homes to buy, you're going to likely see people touting this inside of the listing, right? Because if they have this 2.75% mortgage or 3.5% mortgage that they're willing to let you assume, that's a huge check mark for them and for their property. They're going to get a lot more potential buyers if those buyers know that they can take on that much lower mortgage rate at the same time.
Totally.
I will say it's a tricky process though. Even if the house does come with an assumable loan, for instance, maybe that loan might only cover 40% of the purchase price and you've got to either bring cash or get another loan to take care of the rest of it.
Values are so much higher likely than when they actually purchase that home. So yeah, it may only cover a small portion of the overall purchase price of that property.
Yeah, but that Wall Street Journal article about assumable mortgages was something I was like, I know it's more common actually in other countries. I believe in Great Britain, it's one of those things that's kind of par for the course. And it would seem like this should be more normal here, where you don't have to, but the banks benefit, right? From every time somebody takes out a fresh new loan, when if we just had more assumable loans, it would cut down on some of those transaction fees that we're always railing against, Matt, when it comes to buying and selling real estate. I would love to see more mortgage loans become assumable, more people transferring mortgages to each other as they buy or sell a house. But I don't know, it's good to see at least a little bit of uptick in this regard.
That's right. Yeah. So there is a way for you to get that 2.75 mortgage rate.
Yes.
But they're just few and far between.
Yeah. Not terribly easy, but it's possible.
All right. So we talked recently about the duopoly and the monopoly reality that most folks face when it comes to paying for internet at home. There are really just a few companies around the country who are out there competing with each other. So the options, they remain pretty crappy. And the prices, because of that, they stay pretty high.
The speeds are low and your monthly bill exactly. is exorbitant.
But one thing that we failed to mention is that technology is helping to bring more competition to the space, helping this to hopefully become more of a problem of the past. Some of the major cell phone companies out there, like Verizon and T-Mobile, they are selling their 5G cell service. But it's not just cell phone service. It's actually going to be able to replace your current Wi-Fi setup that you have at home. And the price, it's not all that bad either. It's $50 from T-Mobile, and plans start at $50 as well with Verizon. Although folks who currently have Verizon for cell phone service, they can get an even lower rate by bundling. I haven't tested these out personally, but from what we've read, the reviews look really good and the price is good as well. And so it's good to see that these are some kind of like realistic options that would allow you to take a completely different approach to getting internet at home as opposed to going the more traditional path, which always feels so cumbersome as well, right? Like you have to be there in person because the guy is going to show up and then he's going to drill a random hole in your house.
Who knows where?
Yeah, exactly. He's just going to drill it wherever he wants.
Literally, when we moved, and the AT&T guy came out, we had to talk a long time about where he's going to put this hole. And it was just kind of, I don't know, it took a long time. These 5G service
feels a little bit outdated.
It seems like it's going to be the future. And the speeds are something like in the average range of 100 megs up to like 180 megs with a couple of these plans. So it's worth looking into, let's say, if you're currently paying $80, $90, $100 for internet service every single month, but that speed is going to serve you just fine. Or maybe you just found that, like, you've called the customer customer retention department again, like we've suggested, and they have finally got onto your game and then they're not lowering your rate anymore, typically they will, but not always. Well, it might be time to try out one of these 5G plans. If you do, let us know how it goes. And Matt, one thing you mentioned was that if you are currently a Verizon customer, you can get an even better deal on this 5G service. Sadly, that means that you're paying so much extra though for cell phone service that it's probably not worth it.
If you can sit down and do the math, like take the whole picture into account, right? Because if maybe you are with Mint Mobile and you've got that price down and you are able to pay maybe more than you want to because you are with Comcast, but if your overall net cost is going to be lower, of course, stick with what you've got going on. But if you do the math and you realize that, you know what, paying more for Verizon cell phone service, that would allow me to pay a lot less for my home internet, you could totally come out ahead.
Yeah, because I think
it comes down to the numbers, baby.
I saw if you're actually a Verizon cell customer, you can get the internet for as low as $25 a month.
Yep, it's cut in half.
That's pretty good.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah. All right, well, let's talk about travel for a second, because we had travel expert Scott Kies on the show a while back, Matt, and we talked a little bit about legroom on airplanes, or the lack thereof. And airlines are, of course, they're doing their best to charge us more for tiny slivers of extra space as they've shrunk the distance between seats by a meaningful number of inches over the past couple of decades. Matt, I'm 6'6", and so every inch of legroom they take away, I feel it, like in my knees, in my back, all over. And so
I feel it in my pinky. It hurts there too.
Exactly. My left earlobe particularly throbs, Matt, on these long flights. But I've actually seen some drawings recently for potential cabin configurations where you're more in like an upright seat where they're packing a whole lot more people in and you're in this like semi-standing position.
It's like an adjustable bike seat, basically. Yeah, right. You like straddle and you're... It's almost like the standing roller coasters that you like get
exactly. lashed. It's almost exactly like that. That's the best... Yeah, that's
Except
the best way to put
one
it.
Only lasts 45 seconds, whereas the other lasts for 4.5 hours.
Right. Well, I mean, no carriers have actually tried to implement anything like this yet. But the interesting thing is they might not have the chance, because apparently the Department of Transportation is considering imposing a minimum seat requirements for how much legroom people have. And it's currently open for public comment on their site now. Matt, like I told you, I don't like being crammed into a seat. I don't like feeling like a sardine where my knees are literally buckled up against the seat in front of me. But I will say, I also like saving money, and I am more than willing to endure some discomfort to save an extra couple $100s on a 3 or 4 hour flight. So I'm not the kind of person who wants to fly first class, who wants even the premium economy. Stick me in the back with all the regular folks who also have their knees crammed against the seat in front of them. If it means I get to save money, I'm totally cool with it.
So we're stuck hearing you complain about it.
That's right.
Joel does not want to be forced to pay that, but you always shall have the option to pay for that.
That's right.
Like, that's the thing that we love so much about the way things, I guess, currently are, is that you have the choice. Like, imagine if you wanted to fly somewhere, you didn't have a ton of money, but you got to fly. Well, you're probably going to consider going with Spirit or, you know, somebody like that where you
they
can,
basically sneer at you the whole time.
You know, like they're going to charge you for every little thing, but it is most likely absolutely be the best way to save and to be able to fly there for the least amount of money possible. But if these regulations pass, guess what? That more affordable fare isn't going to exist, because you're forcing the airlines to pass some of those costs onto you.
One of the other most beautiful things about the major discounters like Spirit, Matt, is the numbers show when Spirit comes into a market, the amount of money that the major airlines are charging for seats goes down too. Mm-hmm. So it's not just the fact
that
they're cramming people into cheap seats on the Spirit Airlines and that you could save money that way. It just because of the competition, just because there are cheaper seats on Spirit, means that their competitors, even the ones that are full fare airlines, they're gonna be cheaper too.
Exactly. Yeah, because if they're forced to have fewer seats on these planes, that's going to lead to higher prices. So in the end, we'll see what happens. We don't know. My fingers are crossed, though, that the airlines, that they keep doing their thing, and that customers, they are able to choose the airline that they want to do business with accordingly. Because that's the thing. Over time, it depends. It's not even just you and what you're gradually getting used to, but like it depends maybe from trip to trip or even year to year. You might have like a really good year and you're thinking, you know what? If I'm flying anywhere this year, I'm going to do first class, baby. Like, no longer shall my knees be crammed. But, like, let's say 3 years from now...
Or maybe I grow 3 more inches and it becomes just untenable.
Luckily, you're done growing. But you have the option, and that's what I love the most, is that folks have the option to do that. Although, that being said, some of these, the extra legroom seats out there, they come with extra perks, like free drinks, which is kind of cool. And, flying so that your knees, so that they don't ram into the seat in front of you, like, that might be... your craft beer equivalent, or you might feel that that's just a basic human need from your point of view. But I think what's important to keep in mind is that, do you want to have the choice to make this purchase on your own, or do you want to be forced? Do you want to be coerced into paying more because everybody is having to provide, you know, fewer seats on a plane? They're having to provide more legroom for everybody.
Like,
I want people to have the choice. That's all.
I can't imagine getting behind the wheel of a Mazda Miata. Those things seem tiny, and I think they should be wiped off the face of the earth accordingly. Like, people who are 6'6 probably shouldn't be driving those cars.
But there's a lot of Mazda Miata fans. There's like
there's a lot of people who are 5'4 who
racing
dig it.
Circuit, and all they do is race Miatas.
Really?
Do you know that?
No.
Yeah. You remember Corey, our old buddy?
Oh, yeah.
He used to be part of this Miata group, and they all got their Miatas
together.
They do
have like a cult following.
Take them to the track.
I would imagine the cult following is mostly involves short people, but
ironically enough, Corey was at least 6 foot.
He was decently tall, and he drove a Miata. Maybe they've got more legroom than I'm giving them credit for.
Maybe so.
Well, speaking of the airlines, last week the U.S. Department of Transportation they published a really helpful chart that's going to allow you to know what you're entitled to if you're affected by what's known as a controllable flight cancellation or delay. And this includes things like maintenance problems, or let's say they don't have the right crew members for your flight, baggage loading or fueling problems. We'll actually link to this in the show notes. But for example, if there's an overnight delay, virtually all of the airline carriers, they've committed to providing passengers with a complimentary hotel stay. All of them except for one, Matt. Not Spirit, actually, but Frontier. But yeah, just because an airline hasn't committed to certain amenities across the board, just because they're not listed on this website as offering that benefit, that doesn't mean that they won't hook you up if you ask. So it's important to know that it's often up to the discretion of the individual carrier and even the actual employee who you're speaking with, right?
So it depends what seats they sat in order to...
Is Jan having a good day? We don't know. But maybe Margaret over here is feeling a little happier, and she's willing to make sure you're taken care of, right?
Yeah. She got to sit in that extra first class seat. She didn't have to... What's the jump? Is it the jump seat that the airline attendants sit in or whatever?
Is that the best seat in the house?
No, not the best. They're just like a little fold-out... Like a piece of wood or something like that. They do not look super comfortable. That's all.
Well, yeah, it's important to mention, one, that this exists and that you can kind of see what you're entitled to, but also that even if you're not publicly entitled to some sort of compensation for one of these, you know, for a cancellation or for a delay, you can still advocate for yourself. Often, again, Matt, via Twitter. Twitter is one of the best ways to get a hold of airline customer service, and lots of times they'll take care of you when legally they're not even required to.
That's right, dude. All right, we have several other stories we're going to get to, including sacrificing a little bit of your privacy in order to save more on insurance. We've got that story plus a few others right after this. When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. That's why you listen to this podcast. And if you're looking to upgrade your wallet, you need to turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. If you're paying for vacations with whatever card is in your wallet, you could be missing out on miles you didn't even know you were leaving on the table.
You can get a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade, lounge access... Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions.
Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
I'm guessing that a lot of listeners are starting to solidify their summer travel plans. We always like to get the families together, Matt, for a week at the beach. Every single summer, we've already got that trip to St. Simon's on the calendar. Pumped for that. But sometimes those vacations get expensive. So what better way to offset some of those costs than to have your home earning some money while you're away?
That's right. Why let it sit empty when it could be earning extra income? It's the financially smart thing to do. So think it through. Maybe you've got some extra space in your home, or maybe you have an entire house to host. Or maybe you're just going on vacation and your home is sitting empty. In every case, you can Airbnb it. You already have the space, so it won't be a huge adjustment.
I mean, the way I see it, if you're not using your space, you have two options. You can let it just sit there empty, or you do some optimizing and make some money off it. Really, if you think about it, you already have an Airbnb. You just need to start using it. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. spring cleaning is kind of an annual rite of passage. We've all got to do it, minimize the junk that we have in our house. Emily and I, we just cleaned our closets out. It took hours, but it was so worth it. Now we've only got stuff in there that we love, and it's easier to find everything too. And so, you know, while cleaning your closets is helpful, well, there's something else you can do for your family this spring. Shopping for life insurance with Policy Genius, for example, is a really important part of your financial planning for the year.
That's right. Yeah. And here is the thing that's important to remember, because you might be thinking you don't need to check out Policy Genius because you've got a policy through work. But even if you have a life insurance policy through your job, it may not offer you enough protection for your family's needs, and it may not follow you if you leave your job. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius works for you, not the insurance companies, and that means they don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance.
Save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com.
If you're listening to this podcast right now and you're a small business owner, listen up. Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're actually choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers. They do everything from hyper-targeting best fit prospects through campaign optimization. Upswell Marketing's unique approach includes direct mail, search engine marketing, and social media ads, and has fueled more than 10,000 small business success stories. Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no-obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies. Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
All right, we're going to continue here on the Friday Flight. We're going to talk, continue to cover some stories that we found interesting this week, how they pertain to your personal finances. And of course, we always get to the ludicrous headline of the week. That's right now. And this one comes from Axios. The headline reads, "New company encourages donate now, pay later, charitable giving." And the headline, Matt, just gave me the willies. I was like, I know where this is going. It cannot be good. It's basically buy now, pay later, but instead of spending your money on an item you want, it's for giving money away to a cause that you care about.
Let's just say we were not surprised to see that. I mean, as soon as you see that, you're like, well, of course.
Yeah.
About time.
Of course it went there.
That this is where it went.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of, it's inevitable, right? It's a domino effect. We start with BNPL, we get to GNPL, and now, you don't even have to have the money in your possession to give to causes you care about. There are just so many problems with this, though, that it's hard to know really where to start. Like, one, you're giving away money you don't have to give. Two, there's now a middleman taking a cut of your donation, somewhere between 8% and 15%. So the charity that you couldn't wait to support until you actually had the money, well, now they're not getting anywhere near right. The full benefit they would have if you gave to them directly.
Although I will say that one of the things that the company behind this, that like one of their stats was that something like 80%
people
of
give
folks
more.
Will give twice as much if they're presented with this option. Which whether or not that is a good thing is like, that's another debate, right? But the fact that certain nonprofits out there are able to potentially receive even more money.
Well, that's what the BNPLs
is a good argument.
Have said the whole time.
Yeah, folks will spend more.
Yeah. Hey, put us on your website, Amazon, and because people are going to have bigger shopping carts because mm-hmm. they're going to buy more than they can actually afford. And this is going to be good all the way around for everyone.
Right.
It's going to increase your bottom line. But when you're giving away more money, I get why that sounds nice to the charitable organizations. Hey, people are going to give more money to you, but they're giving money that they don't have. And so we would say this majorly sucks. And we are all about supporting nonprofits that are doing good work.
Totally.
We would say it's a great thing to budget for monthly or annual giving, but this feels shady and almost predatory. And it's definitely not the best way to make those donations happen. So if you see a give now, pay later button, avoid it. Don't do it, because it's another modern iteration of a
stupid fintech offering that is bad for individuals. It's bad for consumers.
I will say I am willing to play devil's advocate a little
bit
here because
I want to hear what you got to say.
So like in this way, like simultaneously, I feel like it could be a good thing if it allows somebody to commit to a behavior that they might want to do, but that they find themselves not doing over time, right? Like I almost see it almost like a tool, not inherently a bad or an evil thing, but as a tool that someone could potentially utilize. I see you're just sitting over there staring at me. Well, that you could potentially utilize as like a commitment device, right? And so like in that way, I almost feel
you could also do the same with a recurring credit card donation, my friend. You
totally could. Yeah, absolutely.
So I get what you're saying. But and we've said the same thing about BNPLs, that they're not inherently wrong or inherently bad. It's just that most people use them poorly.
Slope.
They use them typically buy or give money that
totally.
They don't have.
Yeah, they use them poorly. And so that's why the end matters so much, right? And so the means to the end here, in this case, the end is to give that money away. When you're using it to buy more junk, like more crap, I think that to me that feels more pernicious, right? Like that's when you're not really thinking through, like, do you really need all this stuff now? Do you really need that fancy pair of running shorts or something? You know, I'm just picking on myself because that's like the last thing I bought, but not via PayNow.
But going into debt, later. Forgiving is not much better though,
right? And it's not about going into debt. Obviously, if you're doing that, then that's something that we would discourage. And
a lot of people are, I think.
Yeah. Well, in that case, I absolutely would discourage it. But yeah, the ability for somebody, I do see there being benefits, sort of like with buy now, pay later. There are some benefits if, say, it does allow somebody to turn their credit around a little bit because those payments get counted towards their credit. In the same way, I do see there being some slight benefits potentially to having give now, pay later be an option. And especially considering that folks are willing to give a little bit more of their money away if presented with that option.
Yeah.
But that's, well, and so whether you're giving it or
their future money their that future they don't money. Have
that is
away.
True
which is the problem, right? It is, that is at the crux of the problem, is people saying I want to do this thing now but I don't have the money to do it, but I'm going to go ahead and commit to it because this tool exists for me to be able to do that,
right?
And that's what we talk, like credit cards are similar in that way, although it's a shorter time frame and it really can be
truncated
used
timeline
as
for
a
sure.
as a method of payment, and it comes with even better rewards. The only reward for BNPL most of the time is just the ability to hold off doing something you would have done otherwise, whereas credit cards offer additional benefits, we'd say.
I mean, ultimately, if someone can't afford it, right, if they are like where it does feel like a loan in order to give, that seems like a very unhealthy a very unhealthy behavior, as opposed to seeing it as a way for some folks, I think, are just entering into that mindset of like they are seeing themselves month to month. And even though we discourage that, we want people to look ahead, we want folks to plan and to budget and to do things a little more proactively, I think there are a lot of folks who are entering into this way of handling their money where they are looking at it more as just a kind of like a monthly amount, like a subscription. This is how much I pay every month that goes towards my, you know, Netflix, or this is how much I end up paying every month towards my groceries. Yeah, I think some folks
I would say ACH though, or setting up a monthly payment, like put it on autopilot, sure, but buy now give later to me could set you up to be in a financial position you don't want to find yourself in.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, ultimately, we don't like it. But I guess I do see this as being a slight way that someone's using this technology for good. Obviously, if folks are using it for the consumables, then I think that's a very bad thing. And unfortunately, that is how a lot of folks are using it. That's why it's wrecking the personal finances of a lot of young folks. Actually, The Times had an article this past weekend about how more individuals are turning to buy now, pay later for just like basic purchases, like groceries. And then, of course, what ends up happening? Folks start spending more while they're at the grocery store because they can pay for it in multiple installments. And so why not get the gourmet cheese? Or I'm going to go ahead and get the name brand cereal because it's a little bit nicer than the off-brand stuff. I'll just pay for it over time. And so when you use it in this way, these products are basically loans. And so taking out a loan to buy groceries, we feel is a recipe for disaster. We want you to be planning ahead in advance. And while at the moment it does kind of seem like a gray area, I think ultimately it feels like that this is going to go, it's going to start leaning more in the direction of it being a massive negative as opposed to it being something that you can use to your advantage.
Yeah, I agreed. And we've talked about how some buy now, pay later companies are starting to report to the credit bureaus. And so if you're a really savvy consumer who doesn't have a great credit score, buying thoughtfully occasionally an item through BNPL when you have the money, ensuring that you pay it off as agreed, well, that can help boost your credit score. But for the most part, especially, man, seeing that story about groceries, it's just, it's a bummer to see people getting into financial situations they wouldn't otherwise because these products exist and they're using them thinking that they're better than they actually are. When sure. for the most part, people use them poorly. It's a tool, but it's mostly a crappy tool for most people. Let's move on though, Matt. There was a new survey from a company called Higher Visibility, and they found that 25% of Gen Zers want to become social media influencers. And when I read that, I was like, you know what? That's not necessarily a bad thing. I think it's okay to want to influence the people around you. And it is true that some social media content creators are able to make real money. But it's also true that there are only a select few who make legitimate income doing so, who make a meaningful amount, right? Who make enough to, I don't know, pay the bills. And I guess, you know, influencers maybe are kind of like the new pro athletes. That's like the new hot job that people want. But we all know by now that the percentage of folks who make it to the pros in that field is infinitesimally small too. You know, we had linebacker Brandon Copeland on recently, and he talked about how difficult it was to make it in the NFL, especially as an undrafted player. Not trying to crush the dreams of the youngsters out there, but it's wise to not put that profession on such a pedestal and to put all your eggs in that basket. It's okay to dabble and to see what happens, but putting all of your efforts there is just, it's not a good idea because, again, so few people are actually going to make money. And I know a lot of people in that space. I don't have any hate for the influencer crowd out there. I think it's totally fine. I don't really participate much, but I'm totally cool that people make money online in that way. But it's just important to mention that something like the 1% or even the 0.1%, that's where most of the money's going. And there's a whole lot of wannabe influencers out there who aren't making a dime.
I like how you said it's okay to influence other people. Like, you just completely strip the word influencer of its like negative connotation that comes with it.
I think for some people, the reality is like they have a good heart and they want to share cool things with the world. And so
there's nothing wrong with being out there and talking to your friends and sharing with others how you think or how you feel about something.
To be honest, there's a lot of crappy influencers out there who are doing terrible things. But I think most people, the reason they want to do this is because it sounds like fun and they want to share something cool with others. And I think that motive, that desire is good.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's talk about saving money by being healthy. Joel, you know, there's that saying that is it like an ounce of prevention that's worth a pound of cure.
Yeah, that's right.
Though as a country, I feel like we've not been great at internalizing that when it comes to medicine or honestly a lot of important elements of our society either. But apparently more insurance companies are starting to lean in this direction, implementing something called active insurance. And so basically insurance companies, they will reward you for good behavior, which will have a direct impact on both their bottom line and, of course, yours, which is why we're talking about it.
Maybe your waistline, too, if it's a health insurance company.
Yeah. And so, like, one example is, wearing, a health insurance company-provided device to track your physical activity. And if you start exercising and losing weight, you might see reduced premiums or, you know, some other money-saving rewards. The reality, man, is that, like, these sorts of products are going to continue to proliferate. And we think that that's a good thing when it comes to our ability to save money. But honestly, for our collective health as well, if we just jump through a few hoops, I see this as a great way for us to potentially, like, we're sacrificing a little bit of privacy. The insurance companies maybe know a little bit more about us. Ultimately, this could be kind of like a frugal versus cheap where, you know, are we being cheap because we're sacrificing our data here in the short term in order to save money here in the short term? But in the long run, that all of these companies, they know more about us. I do think that that'll be a good question for future discussions, but definitely something to keep in mind as well before you, which we often all do, just instinctively click the checkbox that I agree with the whatever the well, consents.
Who's got the time to read all those, man? But I totally agree.
Consumer reports.
I guess so. Yeah, they're digging into those fine print for us. But the last job I had, the last real job before podcasting full time, we had this thing called Know Your Numbers. And what they did was once a year, Emily and I would go into the office. They would bring some nurses there. They would draw some blood. They'd measure your waistline, all that kind of stuff. They took like five different numbers.
Check your blood pressure.
Yeah, sure. Check the blood pressure. They want to make sure that you are meeting some sort of requirements. And if you do that, if you agree, you didn't have to. You could continue to pay full freight for health insurance. But if you agreed to get your numbers measured and you were good on at least 3 out of 5 of those numbers, you got $400 back off of your premiums. And so that was the kind of thing where I'm like, of course, I'm going to trade them knowing my blood pressure and waistline size for $400, no problem. And so those are the kind of things that more and more insurance companies are participating in, trying to make sure that you're living healthy. And that's going to be good for you. It's going to save you money, but there might even be additional incentives on top of it. And so I don't know. I like to see these sorts of things, but you're right, Matt. There are some of those privacy concerns intertwined in these programs too. But let's talk about something else, Matt. A new report from a firm called Global Data, which just made me think of Globo Gym from Dodgeball, the Ben Stiller's gym, finds that 82% of Americans are actively involved in selling and buying used goods secondhand. So basically sites like eBay, Facebook Marketplace, and OfferUp, they are booming right now. And that's understandable. Lots of folks are saying that inflation is a major reason that they're opting to go this route. Hey, everything costs more, so I'm trying to buy more stuff used. And we hope that trend sticks around. We think that's great. You know, technology has made buying and selling used goods easier than it's ever been. And we think that it's always a great time to be using those sites to pay less for consumer goods and to sell unwanted items. And Matt, it's also just made it easier to get more money for those goods. Think about going back to garage sales. You could get pennies on the dollar because like your the sphere, the amount of people you could reach, it was really people who were walking or driving by who would mm-hmm. see your stuff
so
and
very
maybe stop.
Specific, beholden geographic audience.
Exactly.
Who's going to look at your stuff.
Whereas now with these sites, you can reach a whole lot more folks who are willing to drive and pay top dollar for that item you have. Speaking of which, Matt, there are less than 4 months now left in the Sell Your Stuff Challenge. Oh. So just for how
to
sell
stuff, I just need to get my sheet updated,
okay.
Which I haven't done.
I've been doing pretty good too. I got to update my sheet as well. I'm curious to see where I'm at. I think maybe I'm just a little bit behind, but for How to Money listeners out there who are participating, we launched that at the beginning of this year, selling one item a week. I'm so curious to see the results, Matt, to see how many items people actually sold and see maybe who made the most money this year too.
Yeah, and actually there's another story about all of the different athletic gear that folks bought during the pandemic, how it's been plummeting in value. So not only can you use sites like eBay to sell the stuff that you no longer want, but as a consumer, you can take advantage of the prices, the plummeting values that that folks are having to sell their stuff for because they're no longer worth what they paid for it.
Yeah, I'm on the search for a mountain bike right now.
Oh, yeah?
But the problem is I'm freakishly tall and nobody has the extra large frame. So
larger frames.
Everybody's got those medium-sized frames.
Get you the medium-sized frame, but then get you an extra long seat post.
Those are like the Mazda Miatas of... bikes.
But what about new stuff? Because it's hard to believe, but the holidays, they're really around the corner. And I think there's a chance that we're going to see a lot more Black Friday deals this year. Friend of the show, Ben Carlson, he thinks so. We tend to agree. Basically how it works, for months on end, supply chain issues, they were a serious problem, but now there's been an overcorrection, right? Like imagine a pendulum swinging and it was far off over to one side where there wasn't enough supply and now it's swung back.
It's that bullwhip effect.
And there's an abundance of supply. So chains like Walmart and Target have excess inventory. They've got too much stuff. And of course, these different companies, they're going to have to reduce prices in a serious way in order to entice you to remove that inventory from their warehouses. But keep in mind, the best way to save the most money is by not buying any of this stuff, altogether. Don't be enticed by the 40% off, by the 70% off sales that you might see. Ask yourself first, is there a way that I could just do without this item completely without thinking that, you're the smartest consumer out there because you are taking advantage of the deals.
Plus, I can pay for it in 6 installments over time through buy now, pay later.
Only if you're giving that money away, Joel. It's
like, this is the deal of a lifetime. Probably not. So yeah, although we are likely to see more deals, the best deals are going to be buying used still on a lot of these sites for the most part. But yeah, I like that you said too, Matt, start budgeting now. Like I think most people aren't thinking about the holidays yet, but it really is right around the corner and you can make the holidays a whole lot less financially painful. If you start thinking now and you start saving now, maybe come up with an exact total of what you're going to want to spend on gifts and start setting money aside every paycheck so that you have the cash you need to pay for for the presents you want to buy when it comes to Christmas time.
That's right.
All right, well, that's going to do it, Matt, for this episode. We hope that you guys have a great weekend, and we hope to see you back here on Monday. Matt and I are going to publish a conversation that we just had with Sarah Wilson. She's known as Budget Girl on YouTube, and she's pretty rad, Matt, so I'm looking forward to releasing that episode on Monday.
That's right, man. So that's going to be it for this one, though. Until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Vilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Ariel. I moved to the U.S. at 19. I spoke no English and I struggled finding job opportunities. Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.